Well, well, well. Timmy G's time machine, thanks to Tyre Power. A very, very special guest. One of the greatest players that Port Adelaide's ever seen. But what about this? He's in the Port Adelaide greatest team ever, centre half back. He's in the Port Adelaide Hall of Fame. He's in the South Australian Hall of Fame. And now he's in the Australian Hall of Fame for football. Greg Phillips, how are you, champion?
How are you, Timmy?
I know we're not allowed to shake hands and congratulations, but a bit of that. what an honour, mate. This is amazing. And you know what I said? I thought you were already in it. I mean, this is a great honour.
Oh, mate, unbelievable. It's just really capped my bloody career off, I suppose. Look, let's face it, Tim, we don't play footy to be in there. All Australian team or inducted, but tell you what, my record's been pretty good at this club with a lot of good players. Just another bit of cream on the cake, isn't it?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what. Now, we're going to get into your career, and I need to dig deep because you're a very deep man.
Don't dig too deep. Leave that to Bomber.
I tell you what, some of the stories that we can't put to air is a damn shame. But let's go back to where it all began, because I remember, you know, they said, he's from Lincoln, but you're not. You're from a little town called Minipa.
Yep.
I tried to Google map it today. I was trying to see, Lincoln's down here, but is it sort of halfway between Cummins and Lincoln?
No, up further. If you're going to, you're further on. So if you're on the highway going to Perth,
yep.
You go to Kimber, Woodna. Once you go past Woodna,
then Minipa.
Don't blink because you'll miss it. They had a pub. So, and then you go on to Poutra, Streaky Bay, Sejuna.
Oh, wow. Because I remember going to Darryl Borlase's 21st years ago. That was at Woodna. A little place called Charra Hall, which you might remember. But Minipa's further than that. I can't believe it. Gosh. So why was the family there? You know, because let's face it, your parents... Yeah. Two of the most beautiful people I'd ever met. Noel.
Yep. On the farm there.
No farmer.
It's about 7,000 odd acres, scrap and a bit of crop and sheep, and cattle. There as a kid.
How old were you?
Up to about 12 years of age till I went to Port Lincoln.
Why did the family come down to Lincoln?
I was just through school. It was like a bit of area school. They went to primary schools at Minipa, then Woodna had the high school. So mum and dad decided to venture to buy a house and move into Port Lincoln. Dad continued the farm and mum looked after the kids, pretty hard times, so we went there and
Now, one of four.
Yes.
What's the order? Because I know them all. Dean, Ross, Deb, yourself. What's the order?
This is the oldest, Deb. Deb. Yeah, myself and two brothers, Dean and Ross.
She's the best looking.
I tell you what, mum and dad, they don't work. There's 2 years apart from the four of us.
No
way. And their birthday's all within 2 months. So I don't know how that works these days.
Seems like clockwork, right?
You said that right, the clockwork.
That is amazing. Obviously, a great family. And I remember saying this one night upstairs at the football club, if you want to talk about family in these interesting times now with coronavirus and all the rest of it, just saying about people's values coming back to the family.
Yeah.
I've always put you guys as, like, everything's about family with the Phillipses. And was that set by mum and dad?
Oh, pretty well, yeah. But look, let's face it, Tim, a lot of people in the West Coast now, where mum and dad were brought up as kids, and Pop, he was from Minipa and all that sort of thing. It's just inbred in all over the West Coast of South Australia, mate. Just the people so lovely there, they got time for you. Just have a look at David Hines' parents.
Tom
and Al. Tom and Paddy. Just people so lovely over there. There's Darren Smith and from over there. We can speak about them all,
Just been good to us.
Just lovely parents, lovely blokes, None of them drink, others were pretty dry sort of place.
Well, we're going to get on to that. Story about me and you.
Just lovely people over there, mate. And, it's continued. It's been bred into people in the coast. They're lovely people.
So you come down to Lincoln, you're obviously playing footy, and we were talking earlier that you were winning under 17 medals at 12 years of age and things like that. You were obviously going all right in the footy.
Yeah.
At what age does Port Adelaide come into the picture?
Yeah, I was 15 playing for Lincoln South, and I ended up getting playing for Lincoln South.
At 15.
which was good, which was I had the body because I was worked pretty hard, you know, on the farm as a kid, you know, always had chores and, you know, mum and dad made sure we all worked. When we went to Lincoln, it was just another game, another team, but they were the Eagles, Minnipa the Eagles,
that's
Lincoln
right.
South the Eagles, I continued on there, so the blue and the gold. It was good, but I still played some junior footy when I first went there. Luke Morgan was the coach, and you know, he'd been there for years, and just a really good club. Wasn't much, you know, even though it was a bit of a city, 10,000 people there, it was still had a bit of country atmosphere, and Lincoln South made a change, and you know, we had Neville O'Brien, which was the champion of the club, and Barry Akers and Horn Brothers, and they're lovely guys. I still keep in touch with them now. And I played at a young age, and I was lucky enough to win their best and fairest that one year at 15. But I don't know, because I might have got that because David Keyes was the coach.
David Keyes, a long time team manager of the footy club, and great fella.
Yeah.
So was he the guy that sort of connected you to
Paul? Oh yeah, without a doubt. Barry Wilson, Sandy Virgo used to come over at times to represent the club and look at the Morlock Shield.
That's right.
Thing.
But
David was he was coaching us at the time, you know.
And he said this lad's got to get over there.
Yeah, he's
got to get to the other.
He stopped me from having a pie and a parsley before the games, you know. Like,
jeez, what's he doing? That was Daryl Carl's diet.
It was through Keezy that ended up sort of. Put the word to Port, and then those blokes started looking and reported back as they did. And it sort of all started from there.
So when did you come over? What year?
76.
So your first year you come over.
Yeah.
You're a very young man.
Yeah.
What are you, 16?
16, yeah.
16, you come over.
Yeah.
And
my mum and dad bought this bloody black and white panel van for me, you know, to come over here.
I remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have thought I was going to have to start a family or something.
I weren't far wrong. But I remember the black and white panel van. We used to come and look at it. You know, oh, that's Greg Phillips' car.
A 10 of my player teammates had keys to it. That's the truck.
You're lucky to get back.
Yeah.
Now, you've walked straight into the Agra.
Oh, yeah. So I played half a dozen B-grade games.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Brian Fairclough was the coach back then as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was... Neville Phillips was here too.
Your cousin. Now, I've got a story about Neville in a minute, because that year you ended up playing quite a few games.
Yeah.
Including the 1976, because it's a great team. This 1976 team is just blitzing everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I think it only loses two games for the year or something ridiculous like that. It gets to the infamous grand final that we all know about, and Rick Davies runs amok, and we lose a grand final that we were favourites for, right? Yeah. Give us a little bit of background, because you grew up barracking for...
Oh, yeah, the side of the Beaters in the grand final.
And
Neville still pulled back short that day as well.
Now, you told me a story.
You tell me which one was it. There's that many against it.
But you and Neville. And I can't remember if it was the grand final or not, but you went up to Neville and said, hey, there's Bagshaw.
We did too, even running onto the ground, and Neville will be looking at Baggy and going, I'm on Baggy, there he is over there, you know. Come on, we've got a game here to win, you know. But being from the country, though, like, at Minnipa we had no success, and unfortunately at Port Lincoln South I didn't win any grand finals. In one junior year we did Lincoln South, we won a grand final.
Yeah.
But when you come to the big league and you're playing in the big crowd and the big thing, you know, Neville and I were just happy that we're out there, you know. Losing and winning wasn't really probably important.
You hadn't learned that about Port Adelaide yet, had you?
No, I hadn't. And yeah, even though like we were stern, we thought supporters and we'd change the black and white, we quickly learnt that Port Adelaide isn't a good place to live when you lose.
Isn't that true? Going back upstairs.
We went upstairs that night, you know, like we were pretty happy, and I think I got a couple of goals and Neville played well, and I was right over that thing, it was pretty quick. Then we went up there, you know, and these ladies and the Ben at the club, you know, we hadn't won nothing for 12 or something like years, and they were still waiting for this grand final. And you know, there was ladies crying, you know, there was men, disappointed as, tears in their eyes, and you think, oh, you know, what are they, you know, it's only a game, come on, don't worry about it, you know, some will come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was,
you said,
we've seen that, we learned that, and if we quickly, you know, roll forward, when we win one in 1977, and you see what, how passionate and how these same ladies the year before were like crying and were just loving you and over everybody, you know, they were hugging trainers, they were hugging each other, and I thought, oh, that's what this is, what it's all about, you know. And you know, when I sort of got in, you know, we get introduced to the crowd, and I said, wow, what a place to be, you know.
Yeah,
you know, you can't, you know, there's no second,
there was no turning back,
there's no turning back. Well, that's the way it turned out. But you sort of knew what the Port Adelaide supporters were, and you know, and that hadn't, and when we did come, those premierships come, it was just bloody a great place to be.
So in 77, we've got a McGarry medalist playing centre half back, Peter Warby. How did you end up moving back? I never, because like I said, there's two Greg Phillipses. There's the guy that I used to watch and love between, you know, the 77 and 81 flags. And then the guy that came back from Collingwood, 88, who I got to play with to 93 and become great mates with. And I sort of go, I don't know much about that bit of it. Yeah. How did you get to be centre-back, which was a reasonable
Well, 1976, Tim Evans was playing full-back, you know, probably, you know, him was one of the best full-forwards in South Australia.
Yeah.
And I was on the ball, and then it sort of just turned around for me going to a centre-back and Timmy going to full-forward, so...
Wow.
Jack's pulled the magic wand there, but something happened, but I don't know how it happened. You know, I thought it might have been on the back flanks or thing, but you know, but we had...
Had you played back before?
No, all I was full forward, just all, you know, forward line, sorry, and it was just, we had Trevor Sorrell over there.
Yes, that's
back
right.
Back in there, probably Robbie Watman. Yeah. Bobby Watman was back there. I know my good mates, Ivan Ekman and Gilesy.
You know, what a lot. Times
Tony Hannon and Peter Hoffman, this one's come in.
Hoffy,
Carl Fragamini.
Yes, Carl.
Yeah, you know, so I sort of went back in, and like it was a group, you know, it was just a defence which clicked, you know, and I think whether it be six or eight or ten that played in defence, made it pretty easy because we're all good mates. You know, there was really, like the club's always a bond, isn't it? You know,
we
can talk about a family, but, you know, when you're playing defence, you've got to really have a bond, and, you know, with probably a better bond off the field than on the field, but we had success. But let me tell you one story back then in 76, 77. You know, the number 26, Bruce Light.
Yeah,
he used to say to me as a young lad, he goes, if anyone whacks you, you know, tell me their number. And I said, I've got to tell you their number because I didn't know their names. So anyway, yeah, we were playing Norwood, you know, 2-8-28, you know.
Oh, Johnny Wynn.
Yeah. Welcome to the big league, you know.
Yeah,
And by about half time, you know, I'm going up with about six numbers.
Yeah,
you know,
they are 26,
18. I only get one at a time, you know.
Did you give him the supplementaries as well?
I'll tell you, what did you do? It was Darryl Cowell, because I'll tell you what,
but he looked after you, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Yeah.
He certainly
and
did.
That's part of it. I think when you come into seniors, you're the young fella, so you want the senior blokes to look after you.
Yeah.
I hope you reciprocated when you become a senior bloke.
Well, you got to learn. But the thing was, though, back in those days, you know, you're going to give a bit. You got to expect it's going to come back the other way.
Yeah.
So you just have to be a bit smart. If you're going a bit too early.
Too early.
You're going with mum, you know, and see mum with a black eye and mum missing teeth or something.
That's what
happens, mate. Yeah.
So you're again, so young when all of this is happening. But you become like this rock of Gibraltar at centre half back. The 79 grand final, which was played in pretty difficult conditions with the rain and everything.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about the outer side when we're kicking into the wing.
Yeah.
We've got to just nullify play. You went up third up behind the ruckman, and you must have smashed it with that left hand. I reckon 20 or 30 times out of bounds.
Yeah, good rule back then, wasn't it?
Would you have thought at any stage that somebody might block the third up?
Yeah.
Nobody went near you.
It was just amazing. One, I kept doing it, I kept working, just kept going. Yeah, unfortunately,
was that instructional, or you just did it?
I started off, and then Jack said, just keep going.
That's working.
But sometimes, yeah, you always have a play, they might put in a block in if they do do it. You know, there's a lot more body contact back then than you're standing blokes way, you know.
Yeah.
On ballers, even, you know, stepping in front, you're doing it. So, yeah, it was something that I didn't mean to do. I've done it, then it sort of, well, it's going to keep working, so what works you go with
it. You go with it, don't you? Yeah, then 1980, it's talked about as, well, I think there was a bit of a while back, but they tried to say who was the best premiership team, and that it ended up being a grand final between 1914, who were the undefeated champions of Australia, and 1980, which is a big rap, isn't it, for the 1980 team. Now, I had a look at the record of 1980. 19 wins, this is the minor round, 19 wins, 2 losses and a draw. Mm. And the draw was the first game, the game Central's Elizabeth. So what a record. Only dropped 2 games, win the second semi, and then play the grand final in what was a pretty tough affair. Mm. 4 points down halfway through the last quarter, and just get up and win by 18 points against Norwood.
Yeah.
Is that the best team you played in, and is that one of the great grand finals you played in?
Yeah, I did. Without a doubt, it was a good team, good win, you know, like against Norwood, fantastic. You know, when there's something special when you've got two teams like Norwood Port going out and come out on top, you know, there's no doubt about that. But it's when you ask me about the best team, the best ones ever, you know, like, I am so lucky. Like, look, Russell Lee, but Peter White, Max James, Carl Fragamini, Trevor Sorrell, Jolsey, Ecky, playing in the early days, right?
Yeah.
And then I come back, and I get, as the year goes on, you know, I play footy with Buckley, I play footy with Gavin Wanganeen, you know, and Craig Bradley, and, you know, and all these lads that will sort of go away, you know. And then you see another generation, and then we come back in like, with you guys, yeah, you know, George,
like Roger,
Ron Smith, Darren Smith,
Wayne Murray.
I wonder if Ron Smith's wife has still got beers left there. You know, stack them in here like,
we'll
check it out. You know, I played with, you know, these guys were successful back there, in, you know, then in the 80s, late 80s, and the 92 when I finished off captain, and you go, she's been, you know, and Bruce Abernathy. No, I didn't know till I was actually decided to take a bit more time and look at the records. Abba's, the only grand final he'd ever played in with me was in 1976. Well, because he probably had nappies on. 77,
that's right.
Yeah. But he played in the winning eight, and he was in that, all except that one. So he might have been about 12, I suppose.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But anyway,
I've got to get Bruce Abernathy into this tie power, Timmy G time machine. But we will talk about the time you dragged him out for the routine, which I will talk about.
I had to keep him in the bus. I had to keep the beers cold in the bus. But just quickly, though, I was like Brian Cunningham and you know, Timmy Evans, all these sort of guys. God, Scotty Hodges.
You know, I know you great, sit there great, and go, great, how fortunate you are.
I could not really actually say, well, this side is the best. But but when you do have a good run during the season, and then you finish off and you win a premiership, and, you know, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
And you could quite easily say that, but by hell, there's been a lot of other lads, maybe they might have only played 100 games or 80 games and have been, you know, like a Tony Hannah, you know? Like,
Tony Hannah comes back.
He comes back.
Plays on 1980
Grand Final. He plays the Grand Final. Yeah. And, you know, like, you bring these blokes back, Jack wave his magic wand, and we're going to back in, but there's so many good stories about so many good players, you know, that I've played with. And because when you celebrate it with them, and you enjoy the night, and it goes in the history books, and you look back and say, wow, you know. Oh, there was another bloke. What was that bloke's name? Clifford, someone?
He might be lucky enough to get in the time machine. He
but, you know, he got some bloody Milan Fletic. My God, Steve.
What a legend.
When I met Bomber, it was the first time in my life I had a few drinks at night and I watched the sun come up. I've never gone all night. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I go home.
I don't.
No, not Bomber. Every time I've seen Sunday and Monday.
I don't think Bommel's dragging you down somehow. At the end of that great era, you obviously got approached by Collingwood, and back in those days, no such thing as draft or anything but you decide to go to Collingwood. Now, truth be known, you've only had the one coach, John Coe, and...
Yeah.
If I'm right, you told me that you actually had signed and you were going to Collingwood.
That's true, I was going to Collingwood before I knew that Jack was going.
Before you knew Jack was going.
I said, you know, I'm going to make a move. And that's the way it happened.
And
a couple of weeks after.
And who would be the coach? When did you find out?
I think when Jack left after 2 years, I think Collingwood, we had to take a 10% pay cut. It is a true story, but I don't know, Jack took the money to run. But we,
what a classic.
But anyway, it was, I look, my Collingwood time, I loved it. Yeah. I had to play with Darren Mullane, who was a lot,
yes.
Tony Shaw.
Tony Shaw's a great mate, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Something about little blokes, isn't it?
They just don't
shut up, you know. Well, guess what, there's another one. And anyway, you got, you know, right through them, and you know, we had the Cloaks and the Jeff Rainses and Richardsons and all these sort of, but we had a good side, but just didn't quite make it, you know.
Like, what do you, how did you find Collingwood? It's hard to compare clubs, but what did you find different about Collingwood to Port Adelaide, or were there similarities?
Oh, there was similarities. There was definitely, because number one was the supporters, you know, they were demanding and hard,
yeah.
A few dogs are told to go about their say. So,
a few suggestions.
But yeah, that's them. They just want to win, you know. Yeah. That's it. There's nothing different, you know. So, but it was 4 years. I know we could have done better. I wish there was something in one year, but I. Look, I've had Jack all my life, but I can tell a story about Bob Rose.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, have you ever met the man? If you ever did, he was one of the best, not the coach, but he had so much passion and love for a club and love for his teammates, you know, his teammates. In this case, his players, and I was one. My wife, Julie, she put on a surprise birthday party for me, right? And all the boys turned up, and everyone, we had a really good night, and Bob Rose was there, you know, we're just... And all night I was drinking with Bob, talking, you know, and you wouldn't believe it, 7 o'clock in the morning we're having bacon and eggs and there's only Bob and I left. You know?
Wow.
And it was the best, you know, because we're really right in it and we're talking footy and we're talking about, you know, how he loved the club and how to be the best. And
so you saw just, the sun come up?
We've seen the sun go up.
And that's before Bomber. You met Bomber.
Yeah. And the thing is, a passionate man.
Yeah.
The most loving, and you know when I see him, they're talking about, you know, Collingwood, you know, their top forward, best players, and Bob Rose's name comes over retirement.
Yeah,
for only a short time we knew him, but God, he was the most loving bloke, and because he coached me, Jack twice, Bobby, and then Lee Matthews. So yeah,
what
was good?
What makes you come back? Because you're 26 years of age, I reckon. When you come back, you this is what kills me. You're 26 years of age. You're all Australian centre half back. You are. Already a four-time premiership player at the club, 5 grand finals.
Yeah.
What makes you come back? And because it was incredibly important for us at the time, we're a reasonably young outfit that when Russell took over coaching, we declared bankrupt at the end of 83. We've got to take 50% pay cuts. I was on nothing, so 50% of nothing was fine with me. I didn't have a problem with that. But it was a pretty controversial time. But then eventually it's you and Abba that come back. That must have been a really big move.
It was, mate. It was. Well, look, I went to Collingwood for 4 years. And, you know, like, we talk about fans that in the whether it be the AFL now or anyone, mate, you know, in footy, they make a change. They go to a club or... with family, it's really hard. I went there with... Rachel, my eldest, she was 15 months.
Wow.
Right? And Amy, she was 2 months. So, you know, there's only 13 months. I got to, you know, I'm pulling up a car with my wife, going to play Collingwood with 2 young kids.
Yeah.
And we rocked up at Collingwood we were in 83 and there was a heat wave, you know. Oh. I went to this unit, this is where they booked me into, and it was locked, they had no keys. And when I got in there was no power.
Wow.
And when we put in this heat wave, we put the air conditioning, we had no air conditioning. So I reckon I'd done right to stop there for 4 years.
4 years. Well, they trying to tell you something.
Yeah, I think they forgot I was coming. But anyway, the story was I went short, and like I said, I made friends. But when you had a wife, that's pretty supportive and, you know, help you to get to where you want. I wanted to go, you know, because my wife, she's a pom, a 2-bob pom, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Miss England she was before I married her.
Yeah. That's the same, right?
So to sort of to know the kids, then we're getting up in there for 4 years, it's turning 5, 6, you know, go to school, and I think, oh, you know, and we had 4 years, but weren't good enough to, we had the team, but we just weren't good enough to win, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to come back, schooling was number one, look after my kids, look after my girls.
Yep.
You know, put them on the, get them through their schooling, start it, make it easy for Julie, you know, I think that, it wasn't something that said, oh, just 4 years, we're going to go. Because we were there for 3 and we're going to come home, and then I decided to stop for the 4th. So,
okay.
And we came back, and everything sort of, I could Jack Little Russell's coach when he left one year. And then Jack took back over. So, yeah, there's a bit of...
We're into the second half of Greg Phillips. So we've got a very special announcement.
Oh, no, what's going on now?
Any minute now. The help here is a little slow, but thank you very much. Now, in the old days, this used to be a telegram. You would have got notified of your first league game by telegram, wouldn't you?
Pigeon, mate.
Well, now it's high tech. I know you'd like this, Greg, because Timmy's Time Machine has an actual sponsor. Yeah. It's high tech. And now it's in times like this, we need a little help from our friends, Greg. You know that? Not those friends, because this is Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. It's Tyre Power, and they're here to help us. Tyre Power's open for business. They're committed to helping communities, essential services, new tyres, wheel alignment, and I don't know if you've had one of these, but a free 5-minute tyre check.
Beautiful. I used to work for Ron Heath years ago.
So you know the tyre game. You don't get better than these bikes, Tyre Power. Good day to my mate Darryl around the corner, but just make sure you stay safe. Because we've got a long weekend coming up. Stay safe on the roads, and this time, Tyre Power, your local Tyre Power dealer, is always there to help. So thank you for our sponsors. Thank you very much.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, the help. Now, you're back.
We're going over. Life's just starting.
88.
Life's just starting.
88, 89, 90. What that era did for me was, you came back, and there's guys like me who have played, you know, that... probably the first 3 to 4 seasons, and we're still a bit green around the ears, and we haven't played in flags. Of course, you and Abba come back, and you guys have played in flags. You know what you're doing, all the rest of it. What we couldn't believe was the way you would go about preparing for a game. I couldn't believe you're this absolute champion, yet everything was still enjoyable. Now, there was one time in the warm-up room here where we're supposed to warm up. I've spoken to Rowan Smith on the time machine. Rowan wasn't that intense.
I was really intense.
But you and him were leaning up a thing, and David Armfield's going ballistic. He's going, switch on, you bloke, switch on. And you two were stretching, and you're right near the power point, and you said, come on, Rowan, switch on. And you switch the button on, and then Rowan goes, nah, switch it off.
A true story, wasn't
it? It's a true story.
You just broke the ice.
You broke the ice all the time, and you were so relaxed, yet you could play well. Was that part of your routine?
I think it was just to make you feel good. Sometimes blokes do get
too tight.
Well, just have a look today. Have a look at Richmond.
Yeah.
You see them mucking around sometimes, turning before the game and having a bit of a laugh.
You didn't teach them that.
but the thing is, you can have a little bit of fun, but the old saying, you go over that white line and it all changes.
It all changes.
Yeah, it just changes. It can be...
Over that white line though, Greg. You used to go up to the umpires, and I know you did this several times. You go up at 3/4 time, you pick up the ball, bang, bang with your hand like that, you give it back to them, you go, now there's 2 L's in Phillips. 3 L's.
That's why you didn't listen, mate.
But tell us about that trick you used to do. I remember pre-game, we'd be in the rooms, and if you didn't have your hands ready, because Jack loved strong hands, didn't he? You used to be able to throw the ball. I don't know how you did it. But you'd be able to throw it like that.
The arm flick.
And it would come at you a mile an hour. Now, you broke a couple of guys' noses because they weren't ready.
I did have the double switch on.
But you were unbelievable. If it got you, you were in trouble. Yeah. You had to get those hands up early. But I saw you do it to the umpire. But it rocked the guts. He didn't know what was going on. But it was just gold. But you were always relaxed. To the point where in 1989, we're having a great season. We're running all over the top of the competition in the middle of the year. And this is the sort of stuff that you would do. Now, you got me into a bit of strife. It's the last quarter. I think we're playing the Dogs at Footy Park, and we're up by about 12 goals. And you said at 3/4 time, Timmy, I said, what? And you said, swap. You come here, I go on the ball. And I said, what are you talking about? Come on. I said, he's up. And I said, let's get further in front. So anyway, we get the first 2 goals, and then you'll go, Timmy, you promised. And I went, all right. So I swapped. I went to set up back. You go on the ball. And bugger me dead, you got the first clearance out of the middle, right? And you're loving it. You're running up and down. Well, the runner came out, 100 mile an hour, aren't he? Off. I got dragged. You got put back and set up. But you loved having fun like that, didn't you?
Remember that? Oh, yeah, I did. I was always having a bit of fun with our teammates, now, especially when you're up, you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Mick Abbott,
yeah, the umpire.
Policeman.
Policeman. Yeah, so we've got to be nice to Mick.
One day, we had a bit of a Craig Kelly and I had a bit of a stouse. You know, he went, someone small. Might have been me.
Not
sure. Anyway, and so I did like that. So I said, yeah, what's going on? So we had a bit of a crack, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mick Abbott comes from us. You're reported. You're reported, fellas, for striking. I said, you're kidding, Abbott. You know, I said, he started and whacked a little bloke. And what am I meant to do, you know?
Yeah.
Got to stick up for your teammate.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're reported. I said, yeah, boy, get lost, Abbott. And anyway, we're walking off after the game. And I go, oh, no, you know, got to go to the tribunal. You know, another Tuesday night or something. John Firth, you know, it's going to take about 3 hours. You know, to go through this. I'm no. And I was walking on the big Abbott, walks past, said, Greg. I said, yes, Mick. He goes, I'll let you off. I'm not reporting you. How good's that? Oh, that's how you should umpire.
I'll tell him, Mick.
Have a bit of a think about it.
Yeah. You know why Mick didn't do it? Because he never won a case.
I think Mick had to work on that Tuesday night. He didn't have to. He didn't want to go to the tribunal, but he gets ribbed a bit at his stuff. He always tells me he gets ribbed at the umpires when they go to the training.
There's a couple of stories about you that people probably think is myth or not, but one of the Sunday mornings was always fun here. We won the game. We come in here, Jack would make us run down to the what he called the car barn and back, which is basically Grand Junction Road where the buses are, and then come back. That was a standard Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But some mornings, you might have something in your sock. Not that big, though.
Yeah, started off about 10, went to 20, then a 50.
And what would you do with that? You would lead us astray.
Yeah, many I just sort of shared around with everyone, but we did that on the weekend. Actually, I'd done that on a Monday night. We'd lost a couple of games, right?
Yeah.
And Jack Carl, this was earlier, we'd lost a couple of games, and Jack met at the door, and every three players would come in, he'd grab him and say, right, for 1 hour, see you later. You know, I don't want to see you. Go and do whatever you want, you know.
Right.
He's thinking push-ups, sit-ups,
yeah.
You know, burpees, running, sprints, all that sort of thing.
But he wasn't specified.
No, he didn't specify. He said, go and do whatever you want. I was there, I waited for Kimmy Kinnear, then Anthony Williams, right? So bang, this Monday night, out of the hotel, bang, straight in the door, two beers and a squash. I didn't have the squash. Anthony did, and as good as in the Albert Hotel, you can see on the meeting strip down the port road, you can see everyone on the lawn pushing up and set up. So, you know, like Anthony's goal was, gosh, you go, this is not it, no. Finally catch me in here.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be, you know. So Anthony said, I'm going to go. So we'll go into another 55 minutes and see us on the way back. So little Kimmy and I were like, where are you going? You know, like, beer's about $2 back then.
Yeah.
Here it was. So we had a few drinks, and then that sort of run out, getting, you know, about two, because Anthony came back. And I said, just tell them that Kimmy and I have gone down the harbour for a run, right? So we're going to do a bit extra. So, and I said, put our bags in the car and our keys in the car. So we run out, we bought another bit of money off Peter Bryan, the album. It was about a 3 hour session. Right? We got back and Jim Niski was waiting for us. He said, we're right, Jimmy, we done extra. Yeah, good work, boys.
Well done.
Couldn't stand up.
Well, Jack said, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Massive. Oh, God.
Always had a bit of fun. There was a few more than me. I cop it all, but, you know, that's what it does. We got a lot of good characters now.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Early days.
Blessed. Tell me this. When we, your second half, when we guys start to get some success, we just couldn't believe that the routine was set as far as what you do after winning a grand final. And I remember after, I think it might have been 92, you were the captain. Before we went into that grand final, you stopped us all in the corner of the oval here, and I thought, oh, this is the skipper, he's going to talk to us, he's going to get our minds right and all the rest of it. You said, now, boys, you know what we're playing for, Saturday, don't you?
Yeah.
And we all went, yeah, that's right, Greg, we're, you know, playing to win the flag, mate. And he said, yeah, we are, but it's about the routine, boys.
Yeah, it's the routine.
It's about the routine. Saturday night, we win.
Oh.
We go to the premiership dinner.
Oh.
We come back upstairs here, get presented to the 20,000 You know, faithful Port Adelaide, we get amongst it, have a great night. Sunday morning, we go to my pub. We have a few beers at my pub. We come down, family day Sunday. Yeah. You know, we've signed all the autographs, all that. That night, that's we go right. back to my pub. And we're at my pub. And then Monday, we start at my pub. And it's routine started to blow out.
That's when I had more barman than customers. That's yeah.
the chimney, yeah, we'll do the chimney Tuesday, and it would be Wednesday or Thursday, we'll either go fishing or crabbing. And you had that whole routine.
Yeah.
And now, was that inherited to you? Is it sort of like
it was Leavers days.
It said it just kept coming down.
Those crabbing days were the best,
weren't they?
The Port Parham.
God, we had some fun, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
You led the way in all that. You knew what was going on as far as celebrating gala.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a... Because there was a bit of an incident at the 150-year gala dinner, a huge night, 1,600 people, an amazing night. You got up and told a story, and I'd like to defend myself.
You were behind me. Right? You're the first one.
Right? I was right down the bottom. Yeah. You said that I was a little bit frightened about getting up on that chimney.
Yeah.
I'm here to correct you. I was absolutely shitting myself. I thought you went a little soft.
Wasn't that good, though?
That was 92. Yeah. Now, I have to ask a couple of questions about that story.
Yeah.
One, did you already have it in your mind? Did you set those photographers up? Or what happened? No, Why did we go up?
No, I looked at the one with the climber. I didn't know Ray Titus, that photographer for the advertiser. Well, it was going to take those photos, okay. But when we were going up, I looked back and, you know, somehow you were following me because I think you knew what I was up to, and then Northern Choco.
I sobered up very quickly, let me tell you.
Like I said, I didn't know Roger took 2.5 steps and got down.
He took two and a half steps, bang, gone.
But it was going up, you know, when we were going up, we got up, there was a gate that opened up as well, because I got up and I must have pulled the gate back, and you put your hand on the rail thinking that was part of
that's
the rail.
That's right. And the gate opened up, and I nearly went. Choco grabbed me and said, hang on, mate, we haven't finished.
And then we got up there, and because I think they were brewing beer the day, how much heat was coming out of it.
Oh, that hit me in the back of the head.
It was like this, because the heat was scorching out.
Unbelievable. Anyway, you were determined, weren't you?
We had to get up there, didn't we?
Well, when we got down, I didn't have to get up there, I'll tell you right.
Well, you know what happened. I went to Keezy, the team manager, the security come and said, you've got to get those blokes down.
Yeah.
And Keezy goes, have you got a gun?
The other thing I don't know about that story, obviously experiencing it terribly that day, was when we rushed out of there pretty quickly. We normally used to hang around and have a few. We got on the double decker bus and off we went, get out of there, go to all the pubs in the port.
Yeah.
But when we, I reckon it was 2 years later, you'd retired and you rang me and you said, Timmy, I've got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what is it? And you said, not telling you, come down. So I get there and you said, I've got one for me, I've got one for you, I've got one for Choco and one for him. He said, don't ask me where I got it and don't ask me how I got it.
No.
But you got it. Now, when I tell that story, a lot of people don't think that it's true.
Yeah.
But you got this photo for us.
That's the one, mate.
There is the chimney. And you can actually see the bit of poo coming out of going down there. But that...
Yeah.
How did you get that photo?
No, Ray took it and then Ray said to me, look... He showed me the photo and said, whatever you do, just keep yourself, because if they publish in the advertiser, they're going to get in trouble, because they took out a written statement to say, if you sign this, they were, you know, against the brewery's orders.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, I think I looked up the internet the other day, I think it was about 75 feet, I thought it was 100, so we didn't really do that good, you know. So I thought it was 100, but 25 feet short.
Yeah. Now, part of that premiership celebration, new name and all the rest of it, we used to have fundraisers all the time, and one of them was the Magpie Fun Run.
Yep.
And you didn't make it back one year.
Did I? Was I back in the ute, or did I?
You went for... And they said, where's Greg? And they said, oh, yeah, where's George? Where's Roger? You got lost somewhere on the trail. That was unbelievable.
I think the people said to pay their $500. Certainly done that case, but...
Look, mate, when you played, I mean, everybody, and you can talk to anybody that played in defence. I talked to Eki, talked to Gilesy, you know, George and Roger. They reckon when that ball's in the air, they just went, oh, it's under Greg, off we go. And they would just shoot off because they knew you're going to get it. Bang, that big handball going out. You just made them so confident around you. But the other thing I was thinking about when you were saying earlier how Daryl Cale and Brucey Light would look after you and that. For us, it was you overseeing now. Yeah. There was a couple of incidents. One, the Wanganeen one, where you screamed out at me in the middle of the ground.
Yeah.
Salisbury's getting on Wanganeen, pointed to Hindsey, and then Marnes followed it up with a little comment in the ear. You were always protecting your gun.
I always want to unsettle the youngest kid in this.
Correct. You know, the 92 grand final was Buckley, of course, and Scotty was the captain for the Bays, and you shook hands, and I don't think you said hello, did you?
Yeah, don't touch that little bloke.
Yeah, don't you dare touch that little bloke.
But that was the final thing, and you know, and I was got him to the, you know, the look, you know, sort of thing. But we all protected each other. Yeah. Everyone was a really, you know. You mentioned Daryl Cale. I just remember playing the Eagles once. He commentated on David Mackay, right? Nice guy, you know.
Good pup.
And he had a crack at me, right? And I chased him. I got him down, and I was on top of him, right? And I thought, do I punch him or not? No, I said, do that again. And next minute, this fist is coming on. And you know, there's a little bird flying around his head, you know, and he wasn't saying nothing. I just said, go and I'll run off. And out come the stretcher. Off went Dave on the stretcher.
And that probably thought it was you.
Yeah, well, he did, you see. So I've seen Dave, and he goes, and because what had happened about a week later, I bumped into him, you know, and he's bloody. Looked like he had a bee farm, you know, he's swollen up around the head and all that. And he goes, I said, you all right? He goes, no, I've got a fractured cheekbone and a broken jaw.
Oh.
And he goes, you've done a good job. I said, I didn't do it.
You couldn't even lay claim.
I could have, I've got to clean your name up here a bit, you know.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
But he was a protector, little bit. He was a very good, always playing gimmicks on blokes around the club room. I'd come in here sometimes, and you have four of these under-19s with a cup of ice water with their fingers. They'd be sitting on the table, you know, on the benches.
Yeah, but a leg
up. And I walk in, you know, and they've got a sore knee, right, and a swollen, but they've got their finger in a cup of ice water. And I go, did Daryl Cale tell you to do that? Yeah, he said, because the circulation is wrong. Things are cold. And these poor little kids, you know, they might put your cups down, drink the water, and go home. That's just...
He was a genius.
Oh, you've done it.
Absolute genius.
Yeah.
Mate, you've been one of the, not only the best footballers that the football club's ever seen, but you've just one of the great blokes. You've done it through two different successful eras of the football club.
Yeah.
8 premierships, the best and fairest, the skipper in 92, you know, the greatest team ever at centre half back. You're all Australian, you're Port Adelaide Hall of Fame, SA Hall of Fame, and now the Australian Hall of Fame. Greg Phillips, thank you for being on the Time Machine.
Thank you, Timmy.
I loved it.
Well, thank you, mate. Thank you.
Can't wait to go back there.
Good start.